One is that the issue of topo II testing, which had been something people had talked a lot about the past year, probably looks less relevant because if the regimens are the same and you're going to use the TCH, then it doesn't really matter if you test for topo II or not.
Can you kind of go through that, though? That was a little bit confusing as I saw those slides go flying by there yesterday.
It's a confusing area. So topoisomerase 2 is also on human chromosome 17, not too far from the HER2-new locus. And in some cases of acquired HER2-new gene amplification, you also have amplification of the topo II locus, and in other cases you don't. And topo II is a target of anthracyclines, and many people have suggested that topo II overexpression particularly identifies tumors that benefit from anthracyclines. In the preliminary work that Dennis Slamon and Mike Press had reported a year ago, they suggested that in the topo II overexpressors that the anthracycline arm was clearly better than the non-anthracycline trastuzumab arm, but that in the majority of tumors where the topo II is not amplified, that TCH was more or less equivalent to ACTH. If in the aggregate they're all the same, it washes out the effects of the topo II test question. And so I think that if people decide that they can give a non-anthracycline trastuzumab-based regimen, it doesn't matter if you perform the topo II testing.
But can you describe the curves? Because particularly the ones that were overexpressed, it looked like the three lines were all together.
Right. So in the 35% of cases where the tumor was both HER2 positive and topo II positive, it's accurate that the curves all do track very similarly, which is, again, is a bit of a puzzle.
Including the non-trastuzumab arm.
And I don't think anybody has a brilliant explanation for I'm sure some people have a brilliant explanation. I'm not sure I have a brilliant explanation for that. One thought would be that anthracyclines are important if you are topo II positive. And if you get anthracyclines, you do pretty well. And perhaps topo II positive tumors have a somewhat greater resistance to trastuzumab, perhaps, such that you don't see a huge additional benefit. But remember that, you know, one of the other things that the one-year follow-up from Slamon shows is that curves are not etched in marble. Data evolve over time. The data that were very exciting from 2005 on trastuzumab were all presented with about 2 to 2.5 years of median follow-up. And while I don't think the fundamental conclusions will change in any major way, it is important to realize that as time goes by, you will see some evolution of the curves. And in this trial, that may be clinically relevant.
Well, also, you're only dealing with a third of the population. So maybe there's more, you know, sort of standard deviation there.
Well, anytime you have subsets of subsets and you're talking about fewer numbers of cases, then the curves, of course, are less stable as well.
But then in the topo II non-amplified?
In the topo II non-amplified, the trastuzumab-based arms are superior to the non-trastuzumab arm. And again, visually, there is less difference between them than there seemed to be previously between the two trastuzumab-based arms.
So I've talked to a number of people who told me that they kind of went out of their way this past year in a few tricky cases and sent topo II out to Mike Press
at UCLA.
And now they're not going to do that anymore. Does that sound logical?
Well, I wasn't sure it was logical to do it to begin with,
right,
because the data were really very preliminary and reflected subsets of patients in a three-arm study, which is always, you know, sort of dodgy and short follow-up. At this point, I think there's even less rationale for it because I assume many people will either continue to give ACTH because they say that's, you know, what we've always given and it's effective, or they'll be increasingly switching to TCH. And in either case, you don't really need the topo II testing to help you.